We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
Saying it is finished. Go home and sin no more. All right, let's get into the work for today. We're talking on lessons from Joseph. We will, hallelujah. Yes, you can shout. That's a good place to shout. That's a good place to shout. Listen to me. Anything that must stand the test of time, anything that must survive the waves and the winds of the vicissitudes of life, the pressures in this world, must be founded on God's word. Hallelujah. That is something you must never forget all your life. Meaning, every area of your life where you give attention to build on God's word, to give a root of the word to it, it's going to last. It's going to stand the pressures of life. It's going to stand the wind, the contrary winds of life. But you see, every area of neglect, okay, you know, why am I saying this? There are people who just feel, okay, God, you can run my family. I believe God for my marriage, my family, but my finances, car. Poverty has done me anyhow. So whatever you have to say about money, Lord, just hold on first. Let me sort myself out. No. No. 1,000 times no. The word of God is the only sure foundation that you can have for any and every area of your life. The surest foundation. Neglecting God's word is opening the gate for Satan to come in. Hallelujah. Always remember that. There's something about the word of God. The word of God is not story of the past. No. The word of God is a revelation of the past, the present, and the future. It's not the story. The word of God is not a compendium of do's and don'ts. No. It's a compendium of the character, the nature and the character of God. The will and the intent and the purposes of God. Is a compendium of family album, a royal family album. You remember that? With God's pictures and your pictures inside. So every time you look, you see God and you see yourself. You see God, you see Jesus, and you see yourself. The word of God wasn't given to control us. For some people, when you say, listen to the word, it says, I don't want to be controlled. They think the word of God is something to be used to control them. No. The word of God is the revelation of who you are. It's the revelation of your true identity. The revelation of your true worth. Who are oppressed by Satan is low self-esteem. Or the lack of knowledge. The lack of revelation of who they really are. Hallelujah. I'm teaching you to value the word of God. To value the ministry of God's word. There's such a thing as the ministry of the word of God. The apostle says in Acts chapter 6, that said, we'll give ourselves, it is not correct that we should leave the ministry and set tables. You remember? He says, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That did not even say ministering of the word. That wasn't what they were saying. No. They were not saying we'll give ourselves to ministering the word. No. We'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. Aye, they are talking about interacting, having fellowship with the word. Didn't you hear what was said later? That long time above they, speaking boldly the word of God. And God gave testimony to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. That was what they were saying. The ministry of the word, speaking and hearing it, speaking, hearing, and doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Lessons from Joseph. We're on lesson 10 now, I believe. Am I right? Lesson 10. Was that lesson 10? Somebody should give it to me. What is lesson 10? Management and leadership skills are critical to your success on the earth. That was where we stopped. You can write it down if you're not around in second service last week. We said management and leadership skills. That's the 10th lesson from Joseph. Management and leadership skills are critical to your success on the earth. Now, this is very important. Very, 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 very important. When you look at the life of Joseph, you see these two things at work. Somebody may say, oh, the Lord was with Joseph. That was why he prospered. The Lord granted him favor in the prison. That was why he prospered. Yes. But that is not the complete truth. Listen, the power of God, the favor of God, the blessing of the Lord must always have a material on earth to work with. Must always have a platform, a point of contact to work with. Very important. Did you know that if the power of God fell upon a person and the mind is not correctly programmed, that power can be limited? This is why people receive the power of God in meetings, in conferences, in conventions, in prayer meetings, and they go and it's as though nothing fell upon them. But they felt the power. They felt the anointing. The prophetic word came with such authority, audacity, and weight. They know it. They sensed it. But it was as though nothing happened. Because they cannot trace a significant transformation. I mean, they cannot see significant change or changes in their lives. Why? The power of God, the blessing of the Lord, must always have a contact point on the earth for maximum yielding. Never forget that. Yes, it is true that the Lord was with Joseph. It is true that the blessing of the Lord was upon Joseph. But we have to understand, what were they positioning? What was his posture? If I let me even shock you, hope you know he was one of the sons of Israel. And when God blessed Israel and his seed, the other ones were included. Are you aware? How come he stood out? This is why we have to study him. You think God blessed only Joseph and did not bless Reuben? No. Did not bless Judah? No. Why did he stand out? That's what we're talking about. Why did he stand out? There were skills he yielded himself over time to pick up. And that's that leadership and management skill that we're talking about. I know it's going to take months of series to deal with these two things in depth, but we're just giving a very summarized, condensed, and impactful version. Hallelujah. Very important. This is where many people are trapped. Let me tell you this. You can short circuit your gifts, your talent, the anointing of God on your life, if you don't understand management and leadership. As I counsel people, I've pastored for many years. As I train people, okay, pastor people, coach people, observe, counsel, interact, read, I discovered something. That being gifted, being talented, doesn't automatically translate to being successful. Who agrees with me? You see people that you may even call multi-talented, years have passed and gone. They are like clouds without rain. We are waiting for the rain to fall. It's not falling. John Maxwell wrote a book, I believe it was John Maxwell. He said, talent is not enough. I think it was John Maxwell. Was it John Mason? I can't remember. Talent, I know I've seen that title. John Maxwell, talent is not enough. John Maxwell, right? Talent is not enough. Management and leadership has to do with cultivating what you have available. Management simply means judicious and intelligent use of resources to achieve an end result. Did you get that? You can write it down. Judicious and intelligent use of available resources to achieve an end result. Have you noticed when the Bible was talking about David, he said he fed his people by the integrity of his heart, but he didn't stop it, and the skillfulness
of his hands. Have you noticed that the ministry of Moses was going to be shut down until Jethro came? And what was Jethro supplying? Management and leadership skill. Simple. Moses was already Skyping with God. He had deep encounters, that is. When God was defending him, he said, how many of you as prophets do I appear to face to face? But with my servant Moses, I Skype with him. I gist with him face to face. But yet, David was going to die. Was going to crash his ministry. Until God sent him a man called Jethro, who opened his eyes to see what he should do differently in the area of these things we're talking about, management and leadership. He told Moses, he said, what you are doing is not good. You will kill yourself. And then he broke down what he should do. Amazing way. When you go back home, you can read it. I believe it's in Exodus 18. He says, be thou toward God for the people. And then teach them the ordinances of God. That is so strong. In fact, every pastor should read that portion of the Bible. That is how your work is structured. And even as a business person, you lead in the private sector, in the public sector, you have to read that. It's going to structure work and make you super effective and increase your influence. He said, be thou toward God for the people. And teach them the ordinances of the Lord. And appoint leaders from the people so that they judge the people. And every matter that is greater than them, they bring to you. That simple management and leadership counsel saved Moses. Is somebody following me? Imagine if there was no Jethro, or imagine if Moses did not listen. Probably he would have died earlier than he died. I'm serious. Glory to God. Very important. And we mentioned 7 areas to master in managing. All right? 7 areas to master. And we decided to stay on just a few. Can you write it down? Or how many of you wrote it down? We said 7 areas you must learn to manage effectively. If you're going to have influence, fulfill your destiny on the earth. I don't care your field. You may be a trader, a music person, whatever. You must learn to manage these areas. It's going to make you an effective leader, and it's going to multiply your results. Remember, we're talking about lessons from Joseph. Why was he outstanding? Number one, your mind. Number two, your what? Your money. Number three, relationships. Number four, your time. Number five, your what? Huh? Your desire. Thank you. That's your appetite. We said your appetite, which is your desire system. Number six, your emotions, your feeling system. Number seven, your tongue. Your tongue. I'm going to take one of these Sundays, maybe later in the year, to go through the whole 7. But I'll just pick a few. Now, if you look at the things I listed carefully, you agree with me that they are critical to your success on the earth. Who agrees? If you don't learn how to manage your tongue, you are gone. If you don't learn how to manage your emotions, your feeling system, oh my goodness, you almost be useless to yourself and to others. Are you listening to me? If you don't learn how to manage your appetite, your desire system, you will end up with nothing. You will just crash your destiny for nothing. You don't learn how to manage relationships, manage your time, manage your money, manage your mind, which is the most critical. And I'll start from there today. Managing your mind. Managing your mind as a skill. Managing your mind. Very quickly, Romans chapter 12 verse 2. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, the reprogramming of your mind. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My goodness. He's saying the key to your personal transformation is the reprogramming of your mind. That's what he's saying. The key to your person. Do I have people in this service this morning? The key to your personal transformation is the reprogramming of your mind. Your skill in managing your thinking system is critical to how your life will turn out. That's what he's saying. Your mind is core to the outcome of your life on the earth. Very core, very, very core to the outcome of your life on earth. Very quickly, you have to pull this up. Proverbs, very quickly. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart. The Hebrew word thinketh there is shahar. And shahar means the opening of a gate. My goodness. It means through your thoughts, you open yourself up to possibilities, whether positive or negative. Thoughts are not nothing. The use of your mind is not neutral or sterile. It has to produce something. It says, as a man thinketh, shahar, the opening of a gate. You open yourself up to possibilities by your thinking system, whether positive or negative. When you program your mind to think thoughts of glory, thoughts of excellence, thoughts of power, thoughts of love and of peace. You know what you're doing? You are opening your life up. He's saying your mind is the gate to your life. That's what he's saying. So don't just do garbage in, garbage out. You can do that. Your mind is the gate to the possibilities you will experience in your life. You want positive possibilities, you put positive things there. You want negative possibilities, you put negative things there. This alone should make you take the managing of your mind seriously. As he thinketh, so is he. As he opens the gate of his life through his thinking, that's what he's going to experience. That's what he's saying. Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He's talking about mind management. Mind management. You don't let garbage into your mind. Thoughts can pass. You know, Jesus talks about don't take thoughts. Did you ever read that expression? He said, take no thoughts. In St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Take no thoughts. Take no thoughts. That means thoughts can pass, but it's your responsibility to take them. Yes, oh, this church is alive this morning. Yes, thoughts will pass. Crazy thoughts will pass. But are you going to take them? You decide whether to take them or not. Jesus said, take no thought. And he added something there. He said, take no thought saying. That means the primary way you make a thought stay is by saying. And the primary way you dissipate the thoughts you don't want is by saying. If you don't like the one that's going to say, no, not here. I'm a king. I don't think like this. Are you listening to me? You say it all the time. It's critical. You can't just let anything come in. You always see yourself getting broke and begging. Say, no, I can't think like this. I can't think like this. You are seeing yourself making stupid decisions. In your mind, you're already seeing it. You know this decision, the outcome is not good. And then you are just going in that direction. Say, no, I refuse to go in this direction. With your mouth, take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. I'm saying that your tongue is critical to your eyes. There's what we call the gates to your mind. Your mouth, your eyes, and your ears. So if you can control what and regulate, not just control, regulate what you see, what you hear, and what you say, you'll be able to program your mind to fit God's plan and purpose for your life, to fit where you are going, to fit your dreams. Hallelujah. Manage your mind. As it thinketh, so is he. As you are thinking about it, you are becoming it. Myself, I think I'm just a useless person. You are programming yourself negatively. I think that thing I'm thinking about is not for people like me. You are programming yourself negatively. Listen, no human being, not even your background, decides what you can have or not have. God has decided what you can have. It is your partnership with Him that is a final decision. Did you get that? So you partner with God in your thoughts and your words, you are right there. The Word of God is the final authority. We said it. The Word of God decides what you can have. Not your background. Not negative programming. The Word of God decides what you can have. And as far as God is concerned, you own this world. Have you ever thought about it? Paul says, all things are yours. All things. I mean, nothing you are praying, oh Lord, if you can give me this car. God said, it's yours. Oh Lord, if you can give me this husband. God said, it's yours. I'm serious. Oh Lord. Now, when you figure out that all things are yours, your prayer life will change. Your prayer life will change. I think I said it here before. I said, billionaires don't discuss business anymore. That's for millionaires. Billionaires in dollars don't discuss business. They discuss human destinies. Have you not noticed? What are they? There's a machine in motion, automated to generate money. So they are not this. They are not saying, oh, when was the last time you saw Bill Gates going for business deal? You saw in the news or anywhere. No, talk to me. I want to open your mind. They deal with human destiny. The destiny of nations. They say, people in Africa are suffering malaria too much. What can we do about it? They now call out the African president. They will now come like this. Okay, what can you give us? I refuse to be small. I refuse to be small. You know, one of the decisions you have to make, right, is to decide to be where decisions are being made. Selah. Decide to be where? Where decisions are being made. So that you can protect the interests of the kingdom. You are not part of the poor masses. If you think like that, that is your outcome. And see, sometimes what people say betray what is in their mind. NTA News comes. They give you mic. Say, what can you say about this present government? Say, my brother, things are not just working in this country. Can't you see? We, the poor masses, are suffering. Ah! Are you part of the poor masses? Talk to me, church. Are you part of the poor masses? That means you've not been listening to me. You are not part of the poor masses. A Christian is not part of the poor masses. Do you know what the blood of Jesus is worth? You were called to defend the poor. Oh. That's your calling. To defend the poor. To defend the poor and the fatherless. You can't be in the same place and help the poor. There has to be a potential gradient for there to be a flow. True or false? Control what goes through your mind. You are not your circumstances. You are not what you are going through. You are not what you are currently facing. To let that into your mind is to shut yourself off the promised land. Remember, that was what happened to the children of Israel. Their major problem was their minds. Ah! Somebody said, slaves really don't want freedom. They want a bigger cage. Who is everybody? Help us. Government should do something. They don't really want to be free. They want what? A bigger cage. So you say, increase my salary from 100,000 to 150. Bigger cage. Increase my salary from 150 to 300,000. Bigger cage. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. Bigger cage. You are not a slave. You were born free. The day you got born again, you were born free. Their minds, there was something about their mind. They got out of Egypt, but Egypt was in their mind. They were limited in their thinking. Limited. God did everything to restructure their thinking. Some yielded, some did not. No, I said God did everything to restructure their thinking. Watch this. They left Egypt with abundance. They left Egypt with silver, with gold, with cattle. Are you aware? But watch this. God still fed them in the wilderness. Have you ever thought about it? Did they buy food? No. Were they buying clothes? No. Were they buying shoes? No. The Bible says God renewed the clothes on their bodies. Their shoes did not wear out. Grew with them. Oh God Almighty. When they wanted meat, they did not kill their cattle. Hiya. See, God wanted to change their minds. The wind from the presence of the Lord blew quails and hit them on either side of the camp. The Bible says God furnished a table in the wilderness. What was God after? To their mind. Their mindset. Those who learned the lessons when they went to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. Kai, they say this land flows with milk and honey. We are well able to take it. We are well able to take it. Am I talking to someone this morning? We're talking about management and leadership skills critical to your success on the earth. To fulfilling God's call upon your life. You see people very gifted, gifted but wasteful. They don't understand how to manage their time, how to manage their mind. So fearful, having anxiety, having perverted thoughts. I'm giving you the tools. Never think, oh, that's the way I am. I don't know. The thought just comes. I don't know what to do about it. No, don't say that. You have control over it. And a major principle is this. Constantly changing the information in your mind is the principle of supersaturation and crystallization. Hallelujah. Let me give us a scripture very quickly. Let me tell you a story first. You can put up Hebrews 11:15. But let me tell you stories first. You know, I told you that your mind can limit God. Believe me. God wanted to make Solomon rich and influential. What did he do? He gave him largeness of heart. He gave him abundant sunesis. The Bible says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding like the sand on the seashore. What was he talking about? He was talking about the abundance of... He's talking about the amplitude of his mind. He's talking about extraordinary sagacity of his mind. Meaning God knew that if I don't enlarge him, if I don't change the programming of his mind, he can't take this. Did you know how wealthy Solomon was? Go and read what was killed in his house every day. Go and read about his escorts. Number of chariots that rode with him as a king. His mind was enlarged. The Bible says in the days of Solomon, silver was like stones. Is it silver now or gold? Silver was like stone. The value of silver dropped. Why? Abundant. There was too much supply. But watch this, brothers and sisters. The Bible says God gave him largeness of heart. Largeness of heart. If it's too big for your mind, for your heart, it's too big for your hand. Remember? If your heart has not taken a hold of it, even if it crosses your hand accidentally, it will disappear accidentally. It will disappear accidentally. This is why we talk about personal transformation. A foremost people developer said something that has never left me. He said, work harder on yourself than on your work. You know what people are doing? They are working harder on their work. He said, work harder on who? On yourself than on your work. Because if you don't, those who have been working on themselves will soon rule over you. He said, work harder on you. He's talking about mind management. Managing your mind. Gave him enlarged heart. A precious man called Andrew Womack. How many of you know Andrew Womack? He's a preacher. All right. He has a global ministry. Listen, he just came up. Andrew Womack became popular not less than 10 years ago. Not more than 10 years ago. Not more than 10 years ago. It was around 28, 29 that he blew up on the world scene. His materials. What happened? He has been in ministry from the 60s. If I started raising the dead from the 70s or late 60s, from the 70s, raising the dead, amazing testimonies. No impact. God told him one day, he says, Andrew, you are limiting me. He said, God, have. He said, your mind has put a block on what I can do to you. I'm paraphrasing now. Is that not amazing? For 2 years, he gathered materials with relevant scriptures to give him a word to renew his mind. Fed, he was feeding and breaking the mental barriers. You know, there are many things that have the ability of holding us down mentally. It could be background, it could be environment, it could be what somebody told you, it could be the wrong information you stayed on for too long. Back in school, I told one of my classmates that we'll buy brand new cars. He couldn't take it. I'm serious. He couldn't take it. He said, brand new cars? How? He was serious. His response amazed me. He said, who buys brand new cars? As for maybe politicians that steal money. I'm serious. He was shocked when I said, brand new cars? You mean with leather tear? How? What happened to Tokumbo? That was good. You are laughing. That is a programming. That is a programming. You know what I did? I took him out of his boundaries and he began to react. Our minds create the boundaries of our inheritance. You have to challenge your way of thinking. Challenge it. I took him out. What happened? Back to Andrew Womack's story. He renewed his mind that way. And boom. He saw that he could cover the world with the gospel. From a small ministry in the U.S. The last time I checked, some years ago, the monthly budget of the ministry is $6 million. He doesn't pass through a church. So he's not from offering. TV, books, and seminars alone. Every month, $6 million U.S. dollars. Calculated in Naira. Monthly budget. What happened? Something has shifted here. Can I get an amen? All right. Lastly, Hebrews. So we'll get ready for second service. Hebrews 11:15. Is somebody blessed this morning? Hebrews. Oh. We have communion to take. Hallelujah. And I was just enjoying preaching. Okay. And truly, if there have been, somebody say mindful. Somebody say mindful. I want to show you a secret that will change your life forever. He said, for truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Everything your mind is full of, opportunities will be created for it. Aye. That's what he's saying. He said, if they are mindful, opportunities will be created. If your mind is full of it, else will create opportunity for you. I'm out of time. Rise to your feet. Rise with a shout. Come on now.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.